the Up North podcast. In this segment, we're going to talk about the impact of the repeal of abortion rights here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and of course, Kristen, being an OBGYN, has a lot to tell us, so it won't take long to set things up here. Basically, Wisconsin seems to be one of a handful of states, think Texas and Ohio, to get a preponderance of national attention. And part of the reason is that unique circumstance that we have an 1849 law that kicks back in with the repeal of Roe v. Wade. There's now a full ban on abortion except to save the life of the woman, but no exceptions for rape or incest. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss now says they're not likely to create one next time the Republicans meet in the legislature. And that 1849 language is a little hazy in this modern medical era. So a couple of docs in Wisconsin decided not to lay low, but to speak out on some of the very real things that are already happening and what it means to healthcare for women moving forward. One of those docs refusing to take this injustice without pushing back is our own Kristen Lierley. So, Kristen, you have appeared on CBS, on MSNBC. You've written for the Financial Times. Tell us about a couple of other Wisconsin OBGYNs who've been speaking out as well, and what's happening to women with complicated pregnancies, which, to be clear, can be pretty much any pregnancy. There's no such thing as a routine pregnancy, Kristen.
It's really true. I mean, you guys know, you have OBGYNs in your personal lives. Pregnancy is a complicated situation. Rarely does somebody just skate through it without any issues, but sometimes it can be really dangerous and scary. There's so much to talk about here. But I really wanted to highlight a Wisconsin story that was covered earlier this week in the Washington Post that highlights one aspect of the fallout from the repeal of Roe. This is a patient who, I'm going to try not to sound too much like a doctor presenting a case, but she belonged to a friend of mine here in Wisconsin. And we invited my friend to be on the show, but unfortunately, she wasn't able to get permission from her employer, which brings up another really important issue. These stories, like the 10-year-old rape victim in Ohio, look at all the press that that got. People were completely shocked by that.
As if it never happened, you know, is the thing, right?
Right. I mean, I know she's 10 and she's young, but, you know, we see preteens who are in this situation not uncommonly. I think it would be rare for an OBGYN to go through training and practice and not have a situation
Introduce all the guests, people listening to what that case story was in case they haven't read about it.
Oh, sure. So there was a young girl in Ohio who was a victim of rape and she became pregnant, but Ohio has a total abortion ban. So she went to Indiana where she met a physician who provides comprehensive OBGYN care, including abortion care. And that doctor helped her. She provided a wonderful, compassionate experience for this traumatized little girl. And in doing so, this physician then spoke out, like we have to speak out on behalf of our patients. And she said, it's injustices like these that we don't capture in this abortion debate, that abortion is healthcare. Well, the media turned on her. So everybody from the Washington Post to Tucker Carlson questioned whether she was telling the truth about this, as if this was something that was completely impossible, totally unheard of, but it was real and it was substantiated and it has been followed up on appropriately. But in the meantime,
So I wanted to separate the two issues here. One of the issues is a 10-year-old girl was raped, which is horrible. And Republicans and apparently some of the mainstream media questioned whether or not that actually happened. And that's terrible. But the second issue, right, is that this doctor who performed the abortion in Indiana is now potentially going to be prosecuted for doing so, or the attorney general of Indiana is coming after her or something.
And even if that doc never faces charges, the mere threat of them, the very, very public, very, very political threat made by that attorney general to even do that is designed to have a chilling effect, Kristen, on doctors like you and others.
That's all it's designed to do. I mean, this doctor did everything right. She's experienced. She filed all the right paperwork. She did it within the right period of time, but still he filed this case against her. It is so, I can't even tell you how unsettling it is to be a physician in a difficult situation like this. All you want to do is take care of your patient, and this happens. We feel threatened. So since this happened in Indiana, we in Wisconsin have the same type of a criminal penalty that is possible. We could be charged with a felony for providing compassionate standard of care medicine to our patients. And I have heard OBGYN's leaders here in Wisconsin questioning, am I going to be able to stay here and practice medicine, or is it too risky?
Well, and because you're seeing cases that, you know, as you were saying earlier, aren't really as rare as people might think. It's just that you have to protect patient privacy. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have all kinds of other, you know, institutional rules that are out there. This is not the kind of thing that typically goes to the media, except mm-hmm. that now we're in the kind of circumstance where it's like people got to know. People have to know how this all really works. And that's what leads us to the stories we're talking about in this segment. I know that you know, NBC News did a story about Heather Martell from Chippewa Falls here, talking about, you know, her very difficult decision, finding out that, you know, the fetus she was carrying was going to have severe problems that would lead to a short but agonizing life. If that baby were to deliver. And, you know, Kristen, you and others have dealt already with other cases of women in danger and mm-hmm. in danger of receiving substandard care.
Mm-hmm. All the time. That's part of what we do. There's a branch of obstetrics and gynecology called maternal fetal medicine, where that's all they do is deal with high-risk pregnancies and pregnancy complications. And these people are really the most impacted, because they need pregnancy termination as an option for their patients who don't have normal pregnancies. Remember, having an abortion has risks, but carrying a pregnancy to term is significantly riskier. So in these tender situations like Heather's, where kudos to Heather for being able to share her story, how hard is it as a patient, having gone through all of those things in the worst time in your life, to have to relive it as you're telling your story so that others don't have to go through it? I mean, the bravery is just, wow.
So, and then Chris, I was going to say, then there was the one that was covered in the Washington Post with the, you know, again, you're going to come into more cases like this of severe bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was a patient who had a miscarriage. So this patient already had a hard time finding a provider who was able to take care of her. She actually sought care at a free clinic because she was bleeding. She thought she had her period, so she went in to get contraception and was diagnosed with a pregnancy. She continued to bleed and ended up going to an emergency department, was evaluated, turned away, went to another emergency department with pain and bleeding. Pain and bleeding in early pregnancy to me is an ectopic pregnancy until you rule that out. So she got an ultrasound, and with her ultrasound, they diagnosed a miscarriage, but they didn't offer her treatment, because apparently they didn't know that they could offer her treatment. Now, to be clear, treatment of a miscarriage is the same thing that we do to perform an abortion. So there's a medical way to do it, and there is a surgical way to do it. But this patient was offered nothing. She was sent home, and she bled for 2 weeks until she found my colleague, who was able to treat her in a very, again, compassionate, appropriate, evidence-based way. And when my colleague treated her, she had to find another person in her office, another physician, to help document and make sure that the physician said, this is a miscarriage and this is why we're prescribing this medication, because we're having to cover our asses, to be totally honest with you. It's just absolutely ridiculous that we can't even treat a failed pregnancy because of all the confusion.
So, Kristen, I mean, let me just make sure the listeners understand. This happened in Wisconsin. This didn't happen mm-hmm. in Ohio or Indiana. This woman, and it made the news, and that's why I think we're talking about it again this week, even though we talked about Roe being overturned probably 2 weeks ago. We can't leave this topic, because Wisconsin is at the forefront of women being hurt by mm-hmm. this. This woman bled unnecessarily for 2 weeks, because there is confusion. There's confusion in the healthcare system as to what they can do and what people might lose their licenses for. Now, mm-hmm. we've heard that Attorney General Josh Call won't prosecute, or you know, he won't prosecute folks that that get provide abortions. But there's an election in November, mm-hmm. And so how can any doctor, really know if he or she provides an abortion, whether or not she might, you know, somebody might come after her if Call loses in November, right?
Yeah,
so
really
not prosecuting somebody who gives an abortion is kind of, it's a good start, but it's still not going to change the fact that doctors have their backs against the wall right now. Can you talk more about that? Because I mean, you're an OBGYN, like we shouldn't be blaming doctors for not helping women who are bleeding. We should be blaming a law that got overturned.
Yeah, I mean, we're very grateful to the Attorney General. We're very grateful to the governor for offering clemency. Those are two things that they can do. And of course, there's the lawsuit that they filed to help us provide clarity to this 1849 law that does not have exceptions for rape or incest, because the exception for the health of the mother, for the life of the mother, is really not well defined. And at what point, I know when the life of the mother is in danger because I have trained and I've learned and I have experience and I continue to train, as do all of my colleagues, not just in OBGYN, but in family medicine and emergency medicine and lots of other fields as well. But are the lawyers going to see it the same way when they look at this case retrospectively? And am I going to be stuck between committing malpractice and committing a crime because I'm taking care of my patient and I'm trying to make a really difficult decision about what to do in the context of this complicated environment? You know, I have malpractice insurance in case there is a malpractice issue, but that doesn't cover criminal issues. So this poor doctor in Indiana who was being accosted by the Attorney General had to hire a lawyer to defend her for doing nothing. She didn't do anything wrong. But now she's going through all of these things in the legal system that are completely unnecessary and really just meant to intimidate. And we're seeing this in other states as well. Luckily, like you said, we've got a supportive governor and AG, but in South Dakota, the governor has said that she will target OBGYNs, and they only have 80.
So you said that you have malpractice insurance, but obviously what you said, you know, this doctor in Indiana had to lawyer up. You know, do you think that's going to incentivize her to take another abortion case down the road when now she's had to throw down $50,000 to defend herself? That's the first question. The second question is, like, it even if you win that case, even if you get clemency in Wisconsin, isn't it, you know, from your, if you get dinged a number of times in the medical field, I don't really know what it's called. But like there's people like OBGYNs have to sit for boards, you know, to be board certified. And if you want to move from hospital to hospital or get a medical license in another state, they look at how many complaints have been filed against you. Can you talk about like even if everything's somewhat legal and you aren't put in jail, your career can be ruined. Right?
For sure. It's not even that arena. Like that's all of the medical stuff that they're keeping track of. This is criminal. So you have to report that criminal piece, but that's entirely different than all of the stuff that we have to do from a medical perspective in order to stay viable as a medical practitioner. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think what I was saying is the big point here is that doctors, when I started reading that doctors were, you know, saying, oh, they didn't give her the right medical care. They let her bleed for 2 weeks. The doctors swore a Hippocratic oath. Mm-hmm. That irritates me a lot because it's not, we should never blame the healthcare system for not being able to help a woman who needs to get an abortion or help with a miscarriage. We have to focus our attention on what just happened with Roe, because none of this stuff would be happening right now if Roe were still in play.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, people are just, everybody's afraid and people are not getting the care that they deserve. Doctors are definitely playing conservative within the scope of, they're trying not to commit malpractice. I mean, obviously we took an oath and we don't want to do that, but we're stuck between a rock and a hard place in many situations.
Well,
and
sure.
You know, let me also speak to the physician shortage that we have. So if we've got doctors leaving Wisconsin, we had a physician shortage before COVID. And then COVID hit and we saw a mass migration of physicians. And now with this, I think physicians who are willing to provide obstetrical care, OBGYNs, family medicine doctors, and others are really reluctant to continue along this path. We've got obstetrical deserts here in Wisconsin. Minnesota's obstetrical deserts are very well documented. It remains to be seen what's going to happen in years to come, but it doesn't look good, especially for underserved and rural areas.
Well, let's try as best we can, because again, there is a lot of confusion and misinformation about, you know, what can and can't be done, what services and care do you have access to. So where do you suggest people turn for reliable information about the care that they can get?
Mm-hmm. For abortion care, Planned Parenthood has a wonderful program set up that they can provide resources, information, even that initial visit to help you gather all the information that you need, as well as a pathway to get where you need to go for an abortion. But you know, your doctor is still your best resource, a trusted relationship with your doctor. We don't want to abandon you. We're going to do everything that we can to take the best possible care of you. You know, this is such a hard situation, but we are committed. We took an oath and we're not going to bail.
No, of course not. And that's the thing, you know, pregnancy is not this Norman Rockwell thing that, you know, with binary choices, it's very complicated, immense shades of gray that have to be better appreciated. So Kristen, thanks for the insight on that. When we come back, Sparta is the latest target for activists trying to kill public schools, believing only in religious schools and homeschools, because the zealots are no longer just after your body. They're now after your children's future. That's coming up next. You're Up North.